Good evening. I'm going to give a brief message in response to an Instagram I saw from a sister who's going through a tremendous amount of grief. And she is not the only one, I'm sure. And the question she posed on Instagram was, what do you do in the gap while you're waiting and going through all of this grief? And I had a response that I wanted to share to her and to so many who may be going through loss. Now, in thinking about a scripture, I'm going to share with you coming out of Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. And I'm going to be quick because this is right before I'm going to do another teaching. But I wanted to share with her the story of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had been doing the work of the Lord since his childhood. And here he was incarcerated, locked up, because he was telling the truth and he was doing the work of the Lord in the ministry. And some of you who are grieving have always put your trust in the Lord, and now you find yourself losing one after another of the people that you love. They're in your space and you just feel like it's overwhelming and you're saying, what do you do? And as this sister cried out from her heart what to do, I just wanted to give this lesson as something I think that you can learn from John the Baptist. John, like I said, was incarcerated, and for a time he was in that place in his actual disciples were coming back and forth. But then, because of Herod's edict to give his stepdaughter whatever she wanted up to half her kingdom, she asked for John the Baptist's head to be cut off. And as a result of that, John was going to not just be in prison incarcerated, he was going to lose his life. And you find that in Luke chapter 8, he asked for two of his disciples to go and ask Jesus a question. Is he the one, or should we look for another? But I want you to take away from something there. He knew the Lord, but in the midst of facing his own death, even though he was standing on the promises of God, he understood the scriptures, he had been raised by a godly family, he found himself asking a question to Christ. And I want you to take away that he was getting ready to lose his life, but even his disciples were getting ready to lose somebody close to them that they had been walking and supporting with him. And it had to be overwhelming and daunting. But what I want you to see is that what the example that he gives to those who are standing in the gap is that you should talk to Christ. You should ask Christ the questions that you have that are on your heart, that are on your spirit. Doesn't mean that you're any less of a believer, that you are coming to God asking some provocative questions to him. Because your heart is heavy. You're going through a time in your life, but also now you're finding that you're getting ready to die. And even John the Baptist's disciples were getting ready to lose somebody they cared about. And it was overwhelming. But look what happens when the question's gone. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 7. Let's start at verse 18. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" It was a question directly to Jesus. He didn't talk about his fix of being in prison, about to die. He asked him, "Are you the coming one?" But look at the response from Jesus, because Jesus will reaffirm himself, what he's done, what he's saying, what he's doing. But he doesn't come back and give John a comfort like some of us want. Jesus, hold me, hand me, give me your hand, hold me up. Jesus is going to reaffirm who he is in our lives, what he's done. And look what he says here. When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many. He didn't answer the question right away. He didn't answer that question right away. And that very hour he cured many of their infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, that the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Now, when you talk to Christ and ask him who he is, and is he exactly who you believed him to be, even in your grief, he's going to tell you who he is. He's going to remind you in the depths of your grief and your loss and your sadness, and even some of your doubt and anger and confusion, He's going to reaffirm who he is to you and who he is to you and I together, collectively. And you will see later as that chapter progresses in those verses, he sends those disciples back to only tell John, I am that I am. This is what you see and you've heard of me. Believe it. But then he's going to talk to the other people, not to John or not to his disciples, about how great and how he treasures John. And some of you who are grieving want to hear that from God. You want to hear him say, hold on. But he's going to speak of himself because that's what you need. You need to hear the truth of who he is to you and your pain and your suffering. And he wants you to reach up to him, surrender to him, give him all that pain and the loss that you can't bear by yourself. The truth of the matter is you need him even more now. You need to cry out to him, asking him, who is he in your pain? Who is he in your suffering? And let him answer of the cleansing, of the liberty, of the healing, of the wholeness. And don't be offended that you're holding on through your trusted, devoted faith in Jesus Christ. Keep praying, keep seeking him. Even in the midst of your pain, keep seeking because he is worthy to be trusted. God bless you all, and don't give up. You are loved by God.